Welcome to TMI Today with Rita Bocuzzi and Jen Lee. In this podcast, there is no such thing as too much information. We are diving into all of the taboo topics, from money and careers to relationships and parenting to whatever else we've been too afraid to discuss as women. Listen in and join the movement as we raise each other up in our everyday lives.
Hi, Rita. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Maria. I'm super excited to have you here, Maria, and to have us talking about a topic that is so vitally important. And I think it's for everybody, but specifically women, right? And to have Maria here, Maria is the author of a book called, let's see if I could get this in view, You'll Never, The Journey to What's Possible Through Self-Advocacy. And I love this because a couple things. What's possible, right? We get to have a perspective of what I call a possibilitarian. Google it. So
I like that.
Maria is this amazing author. She's a woman of inspiration for me. I got to know her personally. And even though we're coast to coast, we are sisters by faith and by divine connection. And self-advocacy, we were just having a little conversation prior, because things will happen in life and sometimes people won't be there for you. And sometimes you know ahead of time and sometimes you don't. So Maria, who has been with the Wolves of Wall Street, is going to get to tell us a little sneak peek about her book, her mission, you know, the stories of the why, and get really personal and authentic, because that's what we're doing here on TMI, right? Today's Motivational Insights. This is where we leverage life skills and learn from one another. And so welcome, Maria. I'm super excited that Jen and I have you here today. And so, Maria, I don't know, where shall we start?
Thank you for having me. It's so amazing. Isn't it great that we could be coast to coast, 3,000 miles away, and I get to, you know, spend my morning here with both of you. So I'm very excited. Thank you.
Super excited. I think I wanted to ask the question of, what's one main point or one main thought or takeaway that you want your readers or the listeners here to take away, that was your one big takeaway for right now? What's that one big takeaway from your book in self-advocacy and maybe the story behind it?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. I think the biggest takeaway for me was, what do you do with the conversation or being told you can't, you won't, it's not possible? What do you do with that? And how do you act or react? So for me, one, it was hard to hear. And then I had a choice to react, but instead I stayed silent. And I decided when I would use my voice, how I would use my voice. And I took action instead, action into myself and how whatever they were telling me was not possible and I couldn't and I would never. Switching that around, what was in me that I knew I myself could make possible. Just as you were saying, sometimes people can't be there for us. Sometimes we think they will and then they won't. So who can we rely on? It has to come from within for me. And so I used the energy instead of reacting, I acted. And that was my biggest thing.
So Maria, tell us about how you reacted, how you acted on your behalf. Like, what was the story behind this? You're with these Wolves on Wall Street, and what did they tell you you couldn't do?
Okay, so I walked into the trading floor. I walked onto the trading floor. It was amazing that I had the interview with the owner of the company. And this gentleman, Vinny, just hired me by looking at my name. He said, "You're hired." And then said, "You just have to show up every day and be on time." And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, of course I could do that. And then he told me the salary he would give me and all of that. And I walk onto the trading floor and it's 95% men. Have a short conversation. They're all Ivy Leaguers. And I feel less than, like, I need help and I need it quick. And so my action step was to call someone I knew to find out if I could get a tutor, because I knew that I was kind of, or I thought I was in my mind, out of my league with these wolves on the trading floor. And so when I hired the tutor, immediately she said, "Maria, there's no, you're having difficulty because you're dyslexic." And I went, "Dyslexic? Oh my goodness, it sounded like a disease or something. You mean I can achieve all these things that these men are achieving?" And she said, 100%, you just have to do A, B, C, and D. And so I did everything that she said. So my action steps were to do absolutely everything she said. Get the King James Version of the Bible, thee, thou, thy, all of that. Do that, read the Times, read the Wall Street Journal. So every day, my action step was to get into work an hour early to do everything she said. Those are my action steps because I wanted to be a broker.
And it sounds like your first action step was actually to ask for help. I think a lot of us get stuck in the we don't want anyone to know that we don't know what we're doing. And so we're afraid to ask for help. And it sounds like you jumped right in there and asked for someone to help you.
I did. And I didn't want anyone to know that I worked with. Right. So I had to get an outsource. I had to outsource so then I can stay in that arena with them and achieve what they were achieving. Although when I asked, or I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm so excited." And I didn't tell them because now I had the tutor and I was taking courses. Mm-hmm. I said, "Oh, I want to be a broker." And they said, "Oh my goodness, it's a man's world. Honey, you're lucky you were invited. You'll never be a broker here."
And how long did it take you to be a broker?
Well, to be honest, at that firm, I did not become a broker. So I went to another firm. Mm-hmm. And then I was recruited. And I don't remember the age I was recruited to open this government agency department at Garban Guy Butler. And at age 26, I became the number one broker in my department of 13 men making six figures at the age of 26, which would be $500,000 today. Mm-hmm. So
that is super amazing. There are a couple of things that I heard as you've been talking. A step back is one of the things that you did is that you were silent. And I think sometimes we women feel that when we aren't speaking up, that we're not doing something. So you're speaking to that being still. And I think that opened you up to being listening. And then the other thing that I heard was you say tutor. And I think in today's world, it's more of a coach or an accountability partner, somebody who has knowledge to lead us. So I think there's three really good nuggets is asking, right? Pausing and exploring and getting either a good mentor or tutor or coach to help us out. So already three amazing nuggets for self-advocacy, which is exciting to me.
And I just want to say, I say tutor because literally the woman worked with me in her kitchen, you know, how I went to many schools. And so she helped me, like literally, you know, tutoring me in English and how to pronounce the reason why. So it was more of that. And the other thing I want to share, and that's quite vulnerable of me, is that when I'm so hurt, it was so hurt to hear someone tell my father, Maria will never amount to anything. So I became silent because I actually think I couldn't speak from hearing that, it just completely made me silent. And I think it was best not to react out of hurt, because we know hurt people.
So true. I agree. That statement is, I think if we take a moment to realize that and how really reflective that is for you, especially at such a young age. And I think the other big thing that I'm seeing is that you do take action, right? And it's action where you've actually explored what possibilities are next for you. And I think for some of us, sometimes when people, at least me, I know growing up, I remember being compared to another friend, and it would make me feel less than. But then something inside me almost feels like that voice that says, you know what, that's not true. And I get to fight for who I am, right? And when I say fight, I don't mean literally fight and hurt other people. I mean, maybe muster up enough strength or faith in yourself that something can shift, and go seek where someone helps you, lead you to what is that possibility. And I know that you have many stories, Maria, and that even, you know, this You'll Never, which is your book title, You'll Never, was something that seemed to be almost a theme growing up as a young woman. What were one of the other experiences?
And it's funny because I was told not to name the book that. And I said, I have to, because that's what I was told. I can't.
You'll never name your book. You'll never.
I wasn't told you can't. It's, you know, there were so many ways, and most people can relate, because we were told you can't, you won't. And so for me, I remember being 16 or 17, and I would walk down the street and people would make fun of me the way I looked. I was out of proportion. So I had these, they would call me thunder thighs and Bertha thigh, and they'd sing these songs. And I was like, well, what can I do? What action can I take? Because again, it was very hurtful. And so I remember being in my room and thinking, well, what can I do? And the only thing at that time, I mean, there wasn't Google. I didn't know anything. Maybe there was Jacqueline then. And I decided that I would just give up a few things. And so I sit at the dinner table, and you could see from my hand movements and my name that I'm Italian. And so here I am, I'm at the dinner table and I'm eating the salad and I'm eating the chicken and everybody's having pasta and bread. Why aren't you eating that? It wasn't called a carbohydrate then. It was just pasta and Italian bread. And I said, oh, I can't, I gotta lose this. Look at the family. You're never gonna lose those thighs. You'll never. And I thought, it's not genetic. Genetic is what they're eating. So if I eliminate what they're eating, let's see what happens. And I just thought I would give it a try. Didn't eliminate it completely, but to the point where even now, I don't crave it. If it's in front of me, of course, I want to have it. But I changed my thought process. And I changed the way I look. I transformed my body.
You did it for yourself. You know, I think one of the things that reminds me of is I remember always being different too, being of Italian descent too, dealing with the thunder thighs and all of that. And I remember really having a time where I was struggling so much so that I went to see a therapist, because I just couldn't figure things out as a young woman. And I was like, I really need help with some guidance, because I'm not getting it in the environment that I'm in. So maybe somebody else can help me see what I'm seeing from a different perspective. And I remember actually being mocked, and I'm going to say shamed, for the fact that, oh my gosh, if you go see a therapist at that time period, mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? Fine. I'm already crazy as it is. I mean, I get to see if this is going to help me. It can't really hurt me because everybody already thinks I'm different. So I'll never forget being in a session where I was like, you know, I'm the black sheep. And I remember the therapist changing that perspective and saying, well, what if it's not that you're the black sheep? What if it's you're the white one amongst many black sheep? That little statement was so profound in my life that still today it resonates with me over 30 years later, that so many of us, when you're feeling different, you're feeling maybe less than, it's probably, I read a quote from Marianne Morrissey. It's actually not the less than, it's that we're so freaking amazing, powerful in our difference that it's almost scary, right? It's almost rising above this you'll never to what's possible. And it's not only scary to you, it's scary to everybody else because it's the unknown.
Yes.
So that we can achieve things that are possible, right? That this trailblazing that we're doing, that you're doing with self-advocacy, helping so many women find their voices. And a lot of times it's not just their outer voice, it's their inner voice that they're finding, which is such a beautiful, amazing gift. And I want to say thank you for doing that. And I wanted to find out, what do you currently have happening? You know, how can people find out more about you, Maria? Besides, everybody should go get this book. It's a quick look at quick and easy read. And by Maria Mastro di Casa, you'll never get this book. It really helps you connect because I think the stories really get to be so similar for so many women. And the transformation can happen in each one of us. And you made the trail ahead of us, which was the harder part. And now it gets to be easier for each one of us with, I'm going to say, this guide. So what else do you have going on?
Well, first and foremost, I want to say I am the square peg. And I'm proud to be the square peg. So black sheep, square peg, because it's important to be different. For me, it's important to be different. When I walk into a boutique and they say, oh, you like that? I take it off and they go, oh my gosh, I sold so many of those today. I go, oh, thank you. Because I want to be different in a silent way. I don't need to be all, psh. I mean, I like the glamour and the glitz and the luxury and all of that. And not always. So it's learning to when to use our voice, that self-advocacy. It is a superpower. It is easy to speak and harder for me to stay quiet, but it's in that quiet that I'm advocating and no one knows I'm doing it. I'm making a plan and I have a purpose because I am going to turn the impossible to possible. And so what am I doing now and where am I doing it? I'm working one-on-one with clients and companies to share with the people, you know, how to use your voice, when to use your voice, how can we collaborate together to get to the same destination, the same goal. So I enjoy doing that with clients. One-on-one. And yes, they are mostly women. And I get to, when I speak in companies, to have the men there to hear our perspective. How does it feel from our perspective to be told these things in a man's arena? You know, you can't, you won't, or not getting paid equally for doing the job the same, if not better, and working harder. To show up and to prove ourselves. It's exhausting.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that when we were speaking earlier, you know, we get to be creative. And I know that, you know, one of your next avenues that you shared was, you know, working with faith-filled women of finance, right? To create that shift for them. Because faith and money. Sometimes we think these things don't go together, but they really do. And when we learn how to have our voices and listen to our inner voices about them, it's that connectivity. And I know that you've been doing many keynote speaking events. So you're for hire on that as well, if anybody needs a keynote on self-advocacy. And where can they find you? Like what, like a website or a phone number?
So I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, and my website is my name, MariaMastroDeCasa.com is my website. And you could go through there and just, you know, set up a call, an appointment, and schedule me. And I'm on other, you know, platforms as well. I don't think I share that with you, but I am on a speaker's platform. And
I love it. So definitely get a hold of Maria if you're needing to connect yourself with your inner voice, to be your own self-advocate. And I'm going to say, leverage what you have and level up. That's what we get to do to transform into flourishing into our best possible lives. And I wanted to say thank you so much, Maria, for being here today and sharing so much of yourself and being vulnerable so that other women can connect and we can all do the same, because it takes a village. And I'm so thankful that you're part of our TMI village to give people motivational insights to step up and just answer that little voice and move forward and connect with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
Thank you.